And welcome back to the show. Joining us in just a moment is Dr. Christine Horner, who is going to be talking with us and giving us an education about why she feels it's so important for us to be taking certain vitamins right now and nutrients that will build us up. And we will take your calls for the doctor at 203-333-9422. But right before we get there, I just saw another breaking bit of news I want to tell you about. You know, one of the big concerns for me personally has been what's to us when our drug supply runs out. Because you may not realize this, but many, many of the prescription drugs that you rely on are not made in the United States of America. Most of them, frankly, are made in China. And it's shocking but true. And China obviously had its supply chain disrupted tremendously. So there's been a concern about only having a 30-day supply of your drugs, whether or not health insurance companies were going to help us along. I just saw a bulletin announcement. Now, this was to town employees. I'm not a town employee, but I saw that it was to town employees in Westport, which means that insurance companies are loosening up. So I want to just give you a little bit of informal, friendly advice. If you are reliant on a prescription drug right now, don't be satisfied with a 30-day supply. Try and get a 90-day supply. And here is the bulletin that I just saw today. To all town employees covered by Town of Westport Health Insurance, as a result of current events, Anthem Ingenio RX has lifted the, quote, "still too soon" rejection. As a result, all Anthem members request a 90-day fill at the pharmacy. What would occur is the pharmacy would have to run three claims for a 30-day supply and override the refill too soon rejection, and you may have to tell them this when you pick up your drug. So this is my information to you. If you're somebody who relies on prescription drugs, you can say, you heard it on the Lisa Wexler show, that you know that Anthem has made this exception for certain of their policies with respect to the town of Westport, and you're going to insist they do it for you too. You need to try and get your 90-day supply now. That's it. This is where we are in America right now. You need to protect yourself. We don't know about our supply chain of drugs. Some of them, if not life-saving, are life-managing. And just do this, okay? Just do this. A word from me. All right, now we're going to go to Dr. Christine Horner. Dr. Horner is somebody who has written books about health and ageless beauty, and she is a leading authority on integrative and preventative health. She truly believes in the efficacy of building up our body with natural and easy-to-obtain vitamins. Dr. Christine Horner, hello and welcome to the Lisa Wexler Show today. Thanks for joining us. Hi. Oh,
you're so welcome, Lisa. It's a pleasure to be on your show.
So, Dr. Horner, where are you calling from today? What part of the country are you?
I am in beautiful San Diego, California.
And how are your social distancing prescriptions doing? Are people behaving?
Well, you know, they actually, the government officials are thinking that we're doing a really good job. Of course, we did have some problems with too many people congregating on the beaches and in parks and so forth, so they closed everything.
Yeah. And how are you managing to get your sunshine and activity every day? What's your routine?
Well, they actually are allowing us to go outside. I've heard of other places where they don't allow that, but fortunately, I've been a runner most of my life, and so I go out for a run every day in the morning for about 5 miles or so, and then in the afternoon, I go out again because I just find that being outside is really helps my mental health, so I go out for a power walk for about an hour or so in the afternoon, too.
Yeah, I'm doing that power walk, but it's not really that powerful because I have a dog with me. You know, I don't know if you've ever tried to do a power walk with a dog, but they're stopping and sniffing. I mean, forget about it. I go three steps, I stop. I basically delude myself into thinking I'm getting exercise when I take a walk with the dog. I mean,
I
know. So, all right. So, Dr. Christine Horner, let's take your questions. 203-333-9422. We have a doctor in the house. So tell us, What do you believe we should be doing now to strengthen ourselves, to fortify ourselves against this COVID-19?
So obviously trying to make our immune system as healthy and strong as it can be is one of the principal things that will help us to potentially prevent getting COVID-19. And if we do, then it would be a milder case is kind of the effort. And so experts have been out there talking about a couple just really simple, inexpensive vitamins that can make a really big difference. So vitamin C is something that we know if people are deficient in it, that it really impairs the immune system. And so by making sure that you get adequate amounts of vitamin C every single day, we're better able to fight off infections. So that's one thing that's being recommended. You might have heard in the news, too, about in China where they were treating people infected with COVID-19 in the hospitals with intravenous vitamin C, so high-dose intravenous vitamin C, and that's because it's also been shown to have some antiviral effects to it and anti-inflammatory really? Effects. So the doctors here in this country are trying that, too. You know, we're really at this disadvantage with this virus because it's, you know, new, basically. I mean, it is in a category of viruses that we've been exposed to previously, but it's unique, it's new. And so we don't have all the information. We haven't had clinical trials on it because it takes years for that. So we're just looking as we go here. And then if we start to see something that looks like it may be beneficial, then definitely the recommendation. So vitamin C for sure. Vitamin D is another one that's being highly recommended. The former chief of the CDC has been talking about that because vitamin D is essential for a healthy immune system. There's actually studies showing this direct linear relationship between the levels of vitamin D that you have in your body and your risk of developing influenza and upper respiratory tract illnesses. And then in addition to that, there's, again, I'm hearing this everywhere too, so I think most people might have heard of this, but if you get COVID-19, one of the problems that we're seeing, and particularly in younger people, is that we get this huge inflammatory reaction that occurs. It's called a cytokine storm. And so what they found is that that's the thing that will really damage our organs and put us at risk for increased mortality. And so vitamin D actually has these properties to it that helps to decrease that inflammation. And so the thought is, well, because of that, maybe it's something that would diminish that organ damage and potentially decrease mortality.
All right, so let's talk about the doses and let's talk first about vitamin C. We're chatting with Dr. Christine Horner at 203-333-9422 if you want to call with a question. So vitamin C, what would you say the recommended daily dose is for men or women? Does it differ? And can you take too much of it? I'm talking about in pill form now.
Right. So usually we say about 1,000 milligrams a day. Now, it's water soluble. So what that means is it doesn't store in our body. You can't get too much, you know, basically in your body.
Oh.
If you do, you just will eliminate it through your urine. So it's usually recommended to do it in divided dosages because, again, it just passes through our body. I think 1,000 milligrams a day minimum, and you could do several thousand, in divided dosages.
Okay. To know. And what about D? Because I'm told that you could take too much of it. I have a friend who took a lot of it, and then her latest blood test showed she had too much. And what about vitamin D?
Yeah, so vitamin D is different because it's fat soluble. So that means that we can store it in our bodies. Yes, you could get too much. It's hard to do that, though. when they've done all the studies on it, it's
She's
very rare
crazy.
To have complications associated with having too high of levels. But you know, everybody's different. You have to get your levels checked in order to know what they are. I know it's difficult right now because you can't go to your doctor's office, but there's actually an at-home test that you can get from a website called nutrientpower.org. It has a little kit that comes to your house, and you can check your own levels and send it in. They'll email you and let you know what it is. But so it varies on per individual. We need at least 2,000 international units a day, but sometimes people will need way more than that, 10,000 or something to get their levels up.
So if I took, a lot of times I see the pills, they say 5,000.
Mm-hmm.
So if that's something
that's
that I could take and feel pretty safe about.
Okay. Pretty much, but again, you really need to check your levels to know for sure because we all metabolize it differently.
And what food sources do we get vitamin D and vitamin C from? Vitamin C is citrus, right?
Yeah, so eating primarily a plant-based diet is really recommended now. Obviously we're all stressed out, and so there's a tendency to want to go for comfort foods that are high in carbohydrates and sugars, but that's the exact wrong thing to do because studies show that eating, refined carbohydrates and sugars are things that really kill off our immune system. So to keep the immune system strong, we want to eat really healthy foods, like organic, plant-based primarily.
And that's a really important message, I think, that gets lost in a lot of things. You know, you still are what you eat. We're chatting with Dr. Christine Horner. I believe that so much. And, I was thinking about this last night because as I was taking my daily evening shower, that's my routine. That's what I think is going to ward this off for me. I take this complete and total unbelievable soapy shower every night before I go to bed. And I wash my hair and the whole thing, and then I get into bed. But I also I wanted to ask you this. I take a little bit of zinc. I take about 25 milligrams of zinc. Is that okay, too?
Yeah, taking zinc has been shown to be very good for our body's ability to kill off viruses, so absolutely. There's one thing that people oftentimes don't think about, but another supplement that I recommend, and it's actually amino acids. So these are the building blocks for proteins. And so one of the reasons that older people are more at risk for infections and then they have higher mortalities is that as we get older, we actually lose lean muscle mass every year. So like 1-3% of lean muscle mass per year after the age of 40 or so. So by the time you get to your 60s, you've lost a lot of muscle mass. Being quarantined like we are now, a lot of people aren't getting enough exercise, and so that can cause more loss of muscle mass. And then if you get sick, your body will immediately start breaking down muscle in order to supply the amino acids that your immune system needs to build the proteins that keeps the immune system healthy. So all of this muscle loss is something that is really detrimental to us, not only because it physically weakens you, but it also impairs the immune system and it will increase your risk of other types of chronic disorders. So research shows that if you take supplemental amino acids, not only do they help to keep your immune system strong, but they can also prevent muscle loss. And in fact, certain combinations of amino acids were tested, and they found this one particular combination that was so effective that it was able to repair and rebuild muscle by as much as 57%, which is pretty astounding. So I recommend an amino acid supplement called Rejuvenate. And that's because it's really simple. It's just a powder that you mix in a glass of water and drink it once a day. And then also Rejuvenate is made of that very specific combination of amino acids and the proportions that were used in the studies that showed the best outcomes. And even amazingly, so this was, just kind of in normal people, it was able to repair and rebuild muscle by 57%, but they also tested it on elderly nursing home patients that were extended bed rest. And as you can imagine, they would have, huge muscle losses with that. And they were found by giving this amino acid formula, it actually prevented muscle loss in people even at bed rest.
All right, so this is amazing. I'm ordering this today. How would I find this Rejuvenate?
Just online. So if you Google it, they have a website, rejuvenatemuscle.com, so you would find it there, yeah.
I'm going to buy that today. And
I
just put
idea.
It in a little packet.
It
Does it taste bad? Does it taste bad, Dr. Horner?
No, it tastes surprisingly good, yeah.
Okay. And you take it yourself every day?
I do, yeah. It's just a single packet with powder that you put into a glass of water and drink that. But, yeah, so the research on it has been pretty astounding.
And I have parents that are 85 and 90, and you want me to have that for
them. Oh, yeah, for sure, yeah.
Okay, today. You listening, my sister? My sister listens all the time. All right, Julie, we'll get that for them in Boca. All right, we've got a question for you, Sylvia, from Sandy Hook. You're on the air with Dr. Christine Horner. Go ahead, Sylvia. Hello. Welcome. Sylvia, are you there?
Oh, yes. I was just wondering, what's it called? Apple cider vinegar. Does that help our immune system?
You know, the research on it, I mean, to a lesser extent, I would say, you know, we really want to focus on things that we know are the most helpful for our immune system. So, like I said, the experts out there talking right now are really emphasizing the, you know, what we've seen with vitamin C, vitamin D. As I mentioned, rejuvenate is something that can be, you know, really helpful. And then, you know, really focusing on your diet and lifestyle. So as I, you know, said before, you know, we want to go for comfort foods, but those are the exact things that are kind of killing off our immune system. And so it's really important that we're extremely conscientious of our diet and lifestyle. So, you know, getting some exercise in, which, you know, you can do at home or going out for brisk walking, making sure that you go to bed by 10 o'clock is what the research shows, where we get the very best type of rest if we go to bed that early rather than staying up, you know, watching the news. And of course, stress is something that is enormous, you know, right now. I mean, I definitely feel it myself, with all the things that are happening, from the, you know, concerns with the getting the virus to the financial, you know, things going on. And so stress is something that really, you know, causes our immune system to not be as effective. And so I think it's very important to be doing what we call effective stress-reducing techniques every day. So these are things like meditation, Tai Chi, yoga. If you don't know how to do it, fortunately, there's a lot of YouTube videos that give instructions on how to do that. So I think it's just, we just need to be vigilant and aware of how much stress we're under right now, and that it's extremely important for us to try to minimize that as much as we can, you know, with these techniques and with the proper diet.
I do this, Sylvia. I think apple cider vinegar has way too much press compared to what it does for people. If you want to put a tablespoon in a dressing and have it with dinner, I'm totally cool with it. But I have an acquaintance of mine who decided to go on an apple cider vinegar kind of a diet, and he ripped out his intestine. He had to go to Yale Hospital for a week. So don't fool around with that. I mean it. Don't fool around with that in excess. That acid can be very harsh on your inner system. Am I right, Dr. Horner, in excess?
Well, you know, it's supposed to be, with a vinegar, it's something that's, you know, helps to kind of alkalize the body. But, you know, I agree with you. I think that you know, rather than, you know, really focusing on one, you know, type of, you know, food like that, it's just, it's really important to have this extreme balanced diet. Don't overdo, you know, anything, and, you know, take things in the proper amounts, and just don't rely on one thing, you know, like that too. And I really want to focus on things that we have good research on that shows that it would be the most effective. So mushrooms, actually, are the food group that's been shown to help to support our immune system more than anything else. I've been doing mushrooms.
I eat mushrooms all the time. I saute them once or twice a week. I love mushrooms.
Yeah. And so I've been doing lots of mushrooms and sauteing them with garlic, because we know the garlic has got some great antiviral and antibacterial effects too. So you can actually, we just had this whole concept in ancient systems of medicine, and that is, you know, let food be your medicine and medicine be your food. So, systems like traditional Chinese medicine and Ayurveda, you know, really talk about how we can use foods as medicine. And so I think that's really important right now too, is to say, okay, well, here's these various different foods that have great nutrients in it that are immune boosting, but then we can also focus on certain foods that we know that can really strengthen our ability to kill off viruses and bacteria.
We're chatting with Dr. Christine Horner. We've got a question for you from Mike from Shelton. Hi, Mike. Welcome to the show.
Hello,
you're on
you.
The air with Dr. Horner. Hi.
Yes, thank you very much. I had a question about zinc.
Okay.
I was wondering, I noticed that a lot of vitamins have different forms of zinc. I read somewhere that zinc oxide is very poorly absorbed, and I was curious if that was true, and because a lot of them seem to have zinc oxide there. So I was wondering if that ends up being a poor vitamin if they use the zinc oxide.
Yeah, so zinc is a mineral, and it's involved in a lot of different reactions in the body. And so usually, different forms. I mean, all the different minerals that we take, there's a whole variety of differences as far as how they're absorbed or in our body or how they're used in our body. So, zinc lozenges are definitely something that we found that are beneficial for, helping to minimize colds or maybe decrease it. I have a tendency to favor those versus just taking, supplemental, zinc.
So tell me again. What do you have a tendency to favor, Dr. Horton?
Zinc lozenges. So these are things
The coldies. Yeah, you can't get hold of them anymore. I know. They're very hard to find. They're my favorite. Whenever I get a cold, I pop them in between that and the Zicam on my cheek, and I'm good.
Yeah.
Dr. Horton, will you stay with us a little bit? We've got to go to a quick commercial, and we'll be right back for a minute or two. Will you stay with us? Okay. Let's go to a quick break. We'll be right back. And we're back with Dr. Christine Horner. Dr. Horner, we're going to get cut off no matter what at 11 o'clock. So I'm going to take one more phone call very quickly. John from Shelton, quick question for Dr. Horner.
Thank you very much. Wonderful program. If you went on for another 15 minutes, I'm sure you'd be able to mention a number of other vitamins. What about taking a multiple vitamin?
Thank you, John. Go ahead.
So multiple vitamins depends on which type that you take. So there are all sorts of different kinds of qualities of them. We want to avoid synthetic vitamins because our body doesn't absorb it or use synthetic vitamins very well. So we usually recommend doing multivitamins that are food-based. That's the only, kind of caution I would say is that, yes, they can be, beneficial. Sometimes it's hard for us to get fresh foods, right now, too, to get enough of our vitamins in. Plus, we kind of burn through vitamins when we're under stress. So I think it's a good idea to take a supplemental multivitamin, but it just has to make sure that it's a food-based one and not a synthetic one, and that would be your best choice.
And how would we know that? How do we know that when we look at things? Like, what do we know?
So there's a website called consumerlabs.com, and they do all sorts of testing on various different supplements, and then they'll do recommendations about, okay, these are the ones that are approved by them, and these are the ones that are not. So it's a really good resource to be able to test that out.
Horner, can I ask you to come back on the show next week? Will you do that for us? I feel like you just skimmed the surface here.
Sure, yeah.
All right. Dr. Christine Horner, this is part one. We'll do part two next week. The Lisa Wexler Show coming up at 11 o'clock. We've got more.
Good night. Don't be afraid. Sleep tight in my arms. I swear you'll be okay. I'll keep you from harm. 'Cause I love you and I always will. And you know I'm gonna be true. And whenever you need me, I'll be here with you. Times have been hard, life's treated you bad. But baby, let down your guard, try not to be sad. 'Cause I promised to stay by your side, and now that's what I'm gonna do. When the others have gone away, I'll be here with you.
That's just a little bit of the talent of our guest, our next guest, David Friedman. It's just like a teeny tiny fingernail pinky tip of the talent of David Friedman, who won the Drama Desk Award for Desperate Measures. If you haven't gotten that CD, you ought to get it. It's got some amazing, amazingly wonderful songs. And if you're not a fan of Nancy Lamott, you ought to be. His collaboration with Nancy Lamott was just extraordinary. And her album, Listen to My Heart, is one of the top five in my life. And that was the voice of David Friedman. So he's not only a wonderful composer, but a wonderful singer. and a good, good friend. And I miss him and I miss you. David Friedman, welcome back to the Lisa Wexler Show today.
That's our walks and our talks and our in-person visits. It's a different world.
I know, but I think I'm going to see you tomorrow. I think I have to come see you. I'm going to see you. I'm going to be 6 feet away. I'm going to drive to the hinterlands of Norwalk, New Canaan. And you've got a beautiful neighborhood. And that's it. We're going to walk. We're going to walk.
Well, we've been walking every
day.
My neighbor and I have been walking every day. We're 6 feet apart. Yeah. And we're taking very good care. And we wash our hands. And, you know, we're careful. And I would love to walk with you tomorrow. That would be fabulous. Yeah.
It would be fabulous. This is not a great connection, David. I hope we're going to be okay.
Okay. Can you hear me now?
It's not great. It's like a that. Like that.
I wonder why. From my end, it feels okay. Let me try another phone. I mean, this phone should be good. Let's see. Is this any better?
So far.
Okay.
Yes. Just
All right,
stay
good.
Where you are. Don't go anywhere.
I'm
hope it's
going to
work. Okay, good.
Yeah.
So David Friedman, a lot of your most poignantly beautiful songs, you've told us, were written during the AIDS crisis.
Yes,
and so tell us, does this feel familiar to that to you?
Well, it's familiar and it's different. I mean, in the AIDS crisis, we weren't all isolated, but I have to say, everyone was terrified because you didn't really at first know how you got it. And the difference here is at the AIDS crisis, if you got AIDS at that time, it was 100% a death sentence. Everybody died. And it hit people who you just thought, wow, this is a gorgeous, healthy Broadway dancer or whatever. It had no discrimination in that way. So because, I mean, listen, there's no question that this is a nightmare, but we constantly hear the figure that 3% die, and that means 97% live, and that doesn't do anything to diminish the people who don't make it and how awful that is. But this is a different, this is not a death sentence for most people. And so I think when people know that, there's a little less fear. The thing about this, though, you can't, the social isolation is so difficult for many, many people. And it does have its, you know, my feeling, again, I never, you know, if one person dies of it, you don't want to diminish that. It's just a tragedy. This is a chance to really learn lessons, to really learn what's important in life. And I notice, you know, we're hitting the fourth week, and online, I'm hearing a lot of, you know, I'm sick of this, I can't stand this anymore, I want to get back to life. And to me, what makes this challenging for a lot of people, in my opinion, is it's like, you know, in any religion, Jesus went into the desert for 40 days. The Jews, when they left Egypt, had to wander in the desert for 40 years before they could meet the promised land. The Buddha sat under the tree and fought with the demons. There's a direction that we're going in where it's not like, oh, I can't wait to get back to my life of competition and it being about money and me, you know. We have an opportunity to learn something different. And really, it's amazing to see the love and the kindness and the connection that people and how all the artists who really during this era have not had support are the ones coming out and online and entertaining us and writing for us. So there's something I feel like if we can settle into this and feel a bunch of pain and stuff, and also the earth is beginning to heal. I mean, have you seen the pictures of Los Angeles? It's, you know, with the blue skies and the dolphins and the blue water in Venice, and the ozone hole is apparently closing. And it's almost like the earth said, no more. And so there's something in this, and I think that any big change like this involves pain and grief and loss. And even the AIDS crisis, the way in which the community came together, the way in which people rose, certain people didn't rise, and it didn't stop the people who really said, we've got to fight, we've got to figure this out. So it's not like I'm saying, oh, this is wonderful, but there's like some reason in this and some blessing and some coming to ourselves and really looking at what's important.
We're chatting with David Friedman, who is a composer and a creatively brilliant human being. And in this time, do your creative juices flow because of the situation? Do you find that you have more access to that creativity?
Well, actually, in a certain way, no. I feel like my job is to stop right now. In the last few years, my creativity got kind of tangled up for me in commercialism and in pushing and in going for things. And what my particular thing is I'm sitting back and trusting spirit as much as I can. And I don't like to do that, I'll tell you that. But
nobody does. Nobody does. It's
waiting
scary.
To
Who
see.
Wants to give up control? Right, right.
Yeah, I remember years ago, I was doing a reading with Kathy Lee Gifford of a new show, and Kathy is very Christian, and she said, let's pray. And she took my hand, and she said, Lord, we know that this is in your hands and that you are totally taking care of this and totally responsible, and we give it over to you. And I said, Kathy, I'm giving it over to God for a couple of hours, but if he doesn't do a good job, I'm taking it back. I know, like, you know, in when you do like Al-Anon and things like that, and you say, I am totally willing to hand everything over to higher power, I always go, as long as this, or this does not happen.
Right. Conditions. That's
yes.
Right. We've got
exactly.
Conditions.
And yes. It's interesting because nature is now saying, you really have to let go to this. And, you know, it's interesting because I personally regard religion as metaphor, as stories that are about us. And in every religious tradition, there is a giving in to this death, to this letting go, to this, you know, the story of Abraham and Isaac. God said, take your son and bring him to the fire and sacrifice him to me. And Abraham thought, I can't do that, but I trust God. I trust spirit so much, I'm going to do that. And just as he's about to light him on fire, God says, okay, I see you trust me. So to me, these are allegories. I don't think there's a guy.
Well, wait a minute. What about the fact that next week, Jews around the world, there's only 13 million of us, even though we have big mouths, you would think there are a lot more.
Yeah,
but
we sound louder than
we
that.
Are going to be... But we're going to be reading the story of the 10 plagues. Hello. We're going to be sitting down at tables, and we're going to be putting our little pinky in a glass of wine as if it's a metaphorical drop of blood for each one of the 10 plagues. Is this not a plague? Of course this is a plague.
And to look at all
what
those
else is
things
it?
And not go, oh, that's an interesting story about people of old, but how does that story, you know, to me, every character in the Bible is part of me, is. And so I think this year on Passover, you know, it's interesting because I have friends who are from Israel. And in Israel, when you do Sukkot, it's really about the harvest. It's not this, it's real of them. So I think this year on Passover, if we can say, let's just not read this story, and then we blah, 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 but wow. What is it telling us about our, you know, our life? What is this telling us about how to, because that story, you know, they're liberated, but then they had to really wander in the desert and fine.
David, you're out now. I can't hear you. I sort of know what you're saying.
You can't hear me at all?
It's okay right this second, but it better. Yes, better.
Okay.
Yeah.
So that, you know, the Jews had to wander in the desert after they were liberated, but they were liberated and they got to the promised land with something different. But it wasn't like a simple thing. And we struggle and we suffer. Life is difficult, and it's the love between us that generates, that is what it's really about, and that can be present. I mean, my song, We Can Be Kind, and I have a new book out that came out yesterday, and kindness is something, it doesn't matter what's going on, you can demonstrate kindness, and so to look and see what is consistent, what holds, and the thing about this disease, it doesn't discriminate if you're rich, if you're powerful, if you have money, if you have access. And it's saying those things that we think we're building our house on are not what we really have, not what's really sustaining us. It's something else, and it's something not tangible. It's love. It's kindness.
And on that note, David Friedman, we're going to play a little bit of your song. We'll say goodbye for today. Back on the show.
I want to tell you, I just got my publisher to release the audio book of We Can Be Kind. It has Nancy Lamott singing on it, as Lucy Arnaz reading the foreword. And I asked them to make the price $5.99 instead of $15.99. So if people go to David Friedman, FRIEDMAN, davidfriedmanbooks.com, you can download that and hear all sorts of stories about kindness and beautiful singing and stuff like that. So I hope people will avail
themselves. That's really nice.
That.
That's sort of like a nice lullaby for people. davidfriedmanbooks.com, We Can Be Kind, the audio version with singing of Nancy Lamott, which we're going to hear a little bit of right now. And I'm going to, off air, make an appointment, make a date to take a walk with you tomorrow.
Terrific.
I look forward to it.
I'm at home.
All right. Right.
Okay.
Love you.
Bye.
David Friedman.
Love you, too.
My dear, dear friend. All right. Let's hear a little bit of Nancy Lamott. This is some of the brilliance of David Friedman.
We can be kind. We can take care of each other. We can remember that deep down inside we all need the same thing. And maybe we'll find, if we are there for each other, that together we'll weather whatever tomorrow may bring. Nobody really wants to fight. Nobody really wants to go to war. If everyone wants to make things right, then what are we always fighting for? Does nobody want to see it? Does nobody understand? The power to heal is right here in our hand. We can be kind. We can take care of each other. We can remember that deep down inside we all need same thing. And maybe we'll find, if we are there for each other, that together we'll weather whatever tomorrow may bring. And it's not enough to talk about.
And it's a Friday, and so we're trying to top off the week with some inspirational stories of encouragement, perseverance, all that good stuff, not to mention some very savvy practical health advice. 203-333-9422. You know where we're at. This is the Lisa Wexler Show on WICC. Paul Pacelli will be with us for 5 hours from 1 to 6. You know where we're at. You know that we're in this for the long haul, and we're sticking together, and we are going to try and hopefully get ventilators. We need 1,500 in this state of Connecticut in order to meet the oncoming surge. New York City is far more desperate. New York State is far more desperate. And my prediction, as awful as it is, I think it's a very real one, is that based upon looking at the most recent surveys and maps, the southeast of this country is going to get hit a lot harder for a lot longer than we are here in the Northeast. In a way, it's a blessing that we got this early, I believe, because we took it seriously. And for whatever reason, and there are many, including leadership, it's going to be a disaster down there. And so we're just going to have to watch it day in, day out, and hope that our leaders can get their act together and that we can get our manufacturing in gear. Just in terms of the latest, President Trump admitted yesterday that despite earlier promises and predictions, it is likely that we will not get ventilators in mass numbers into this country before June at the earliest. Thus far, we are falling far short of our predictions and hopes with respect to testing, both in getting the amount of people tested and the quickness and efficiency of test results. We are, however, working on, and many, many companies are working on, clinical trials of different kinds of treatment options, vaccine options, testing options, antibody options. And so that is a fact, and there is a race for all of that. I'm going to go now to our guest who's been patiently holding. We're chatting now with Captain Harold and Rachel Earls. They wrote a book called A Higher Calling, and their book is about climbing Mount Everest. But I want to let you know a little bit. Captain Harold Earls IV is an active duty Army officer currently serving as the commander of the guard at the Tomb of the Unknown Soldier, which is a great, great honor. He is a graduate of West Point and the U.S. Army Airborne Ranger. And Rachel Earls, his wife, is a beloved vlogger and host of the highly ranked Earls Family Vlogs on YouTube, which has millions of followers who tune in to see their conversations and discussions on their family, on faith, and on love. So we welcome Harold and Rachel Earl to the show today. Hello, welcome to the Lisa Wexler Show. Hi.
Hey, Lisa, how are you doing?
I'm great. First of all, Captain Earls, I want to thank you for your military service. I just need to ask you, where is your posting on this guard of the Tomb of the Unknown Soldier? Where are you?
Yeah, so we're based in Arlington National Cemetery. So we currently live, so myself, Rachel, and then we have two little boys. We have a two-year-old, and we have a now 10-month-old little boy as well. And so we live right outside of Washington, D.C.
And you go to the Arlington National Cemetery every day and stand guard over that sacred tomb?
Yeah, so that's what my soldiers do. So my job is just to oversee their training. So honestly, it's just been a tremendous honor just to serve, honestly, just in the military in general. And I am incredibly, incredibly thankful that my wife is such a supportive military spouse.
Yes, and we thank you on behalf of all the listeners to this show. We thank you for your service and your willingness to serve. And that includes you, Rachel, because you're willing to serve as well.
Oh, thank you so much, Lisa.
Sure. So did you guys climb Mount Everest? Because the book didn't make it to me, so I apologize for my ignorance. Did you guys actually climb Mount Everest?
Yeah, so I climbed Everest. My wife, Rachel, was doing many, many things on the home front. So we were raising awareness for post-traumatic stress disorder. So our whole mission, we were one of the first Army teams to climb Everest. And so our mission was to raise awareness for PTSD. So Rachel back home was incredibly busy doing everything on the home front. So it was just myself that went to the top and back down.
And you did this when, in 2016?
That's correct. Yeah, so I originally came up with the idea back when I was a cadet at West Point. So it was my first year, my senior year, and I had this huge dream to climb Everest. It was the number one thing on my bucket list. And so really right after I graduated West Point, we started working really, really hard to make that a reality. What's interesting is for me, that was also the same year that we got married. So we got married right after graduating from West Point. And really what the book kind of shows and where we started to really face some struggles is where my dream to climb Everest was colliding with, you know, starting a new family and obviously the dangers that were luring in front of us while also still trying to build a family together.
And why was it your dream to climb Mount Everest?
Yeah, so it's funny you bring that up. So I'm from Georgia originally, and so I do not like the cold, and I do not like running hills. So for me, just personally, I wanted to put myself in a situation where I could challenge myself and see what I was made of. So that was the personal reason. And then furthermore, you know, we have had, you know, a pretty big issue in the military with one active duty soldier a day committing suicide. So we wanted to do something as a team to help bring awareness and help, you know, stop that struggling issue.
Yeah, that's a very large conversation. One active soldier a day is committing suicide?
Yep. Yeah. So there's one active duty soldier a day, and then 22 veterans a day commit suicide. So that was our whole mission around that. And honestly, we were really, really fortunate to be able to get the word out, and we did. In fact, we were able to help several veterans. And I think what's interesting is that while that was a success on the mountain in regards to raising awareness, what I don't think I really realized was the personal effect that was having on my home life back home. You know, I think that I really took for granted the marriage that I had. And I think that it put us in a difficult situation through going through something very challenging and dangerous that I think honestly is really relatable to what's going on right now and similar to what we're facing in this moment.
And the book is called A Higher Calling. Is the book called that because you felt that your higher calling was to your relationship with Rachel?
Yeah, so that's a really good question. So I think it's in several points. I think that it's never about what you're doing, right? It's never about having. It's always about doing. It's never about wanting. It's about serving. And so it's not necessarily about you, but it's about what you can do to get the ultimate fulfillment out of your life through helping other people.
And I think something for us is we have this little thing that I came up with that we say on our YouTube blogs, and it's love God, love people, make a difference, and be thankful. And for us, that's our cause in life. That's our purpose. And so that's the why behind everything that we do, or say our higher calling. So I think it's just important for everybody to think about what their higher calling is.
Well, how did you guys meet, Rachel? How did you meet Harold?
That's a great story, which is also all detailed in the book. So actually, I lived in Florida, and Harold was at West Point in New York. And my cousin, Tommy, told Harold about me. And I only saw my cousin about once a year. And originally, Tommy mentioned that I was a redhead. And Harold said that he wasn't interested in redheads. And so it kind of stopped there. I know, right? He regretted that looking back. But then eventually Tommy showed him a picture of me. And so they kind of made a joke about, like, what? You didn't tell me she was a knockout, as he says. And mm-hmm. So from there, he Facebook messaged me. He sent me a really silly message on Facebook to introduce himself. And it was kind of this immediate love. We talk about it in the book being love at first phone call, because we talked for 6 hours on our very first phone call, and we kind of just knew that this was something very special.
And then how long between that phone call did you get to meet face to face?
Okay, so that phone call, I think it was around the end of September, and he came down to surprise me the end of October. So it was about a month later. Mm-hmm. He actually planned it with my two best friends without telling me. I thought I was going on a beach trip, and I'm there sitting in my oversized camo shirt. It's midnight. He had just called me on the phone. I thought he was in New York City hanging out with his boys. And my friend walked in the door, and she was bringing a guy that she was talking to. And so I told him, hey, I'll call you back, because I didn't want to be rude to my friend. And he got really weird and defensive, like, oh, no, you know, why are you going to call me back? I was like, okay, I'm about to hang up, you know. And so I'm like, I'll call you back. He says again, why would you call me back when I'm already here? And walked straight through the door. And that's how we met for the first time. I'm like in my pajamas. He's there looking super cute and handsome.
Well, for me, it's like, it didn't go as planned because she was trying to hang up on me. I was like, man, I had this like master plan on how I was going to enter. And she's like, I'm going to have to call you back. And I'm like, I wasn't prepared to answer this or what to do here.
I kept just saying, what? And looking at my friends like, why did you let me look so bad in this moment? But nothing really else mattered because we were just so excited to see each other and hug each other. And it was kind of that defining moment for us that this was real. All our feelings that we've been feeling, you know, over the phone and Facebook and text was real in life as well.
Well, I think, too, it's really interesting when you look at just the bigger picture. I think sometimes the most memorable moments are the times when life didn't go as planned. So I know that's definitely been the case in our relationship, like in that story or on Everest. Or honestly, like even in the situation that we're in right now, like no one obviously could plan to be in the moment of life that we're in. But these are the times that are most memorable.
Yeah, that's a great point. I was thinking about that today, actually. You know, when life is so busy, it's go, go, go. We forget our day to day. It's like, I can't even remember what happened last Tuesday, you know, just because it's that same over and over. But when life kind of shakes up, and even if it is something like a crisis, that is something you're going to remember for the rest of your life. Just like we will always remember Everest, we're always going to remember the time right now. And so that makes me want to make sure I'm living it to the fullest. You know, I'm not just wasting this time away, but I'm really appreciating my loved ones around me. I'm making good memories because I know when I'm reflecting back on life, I'm going to remember this time.
How old are you guys?
I am 27.
And I just turned 28.
Okay, so you're completely and totally adorable. My daughter is my daughter is engaged, and she will be turning 27 April 7th, so just a few days. And her honey is going to turn 29 in June, and they just met a year ago. It'll be a year ago on her birthday on a blind date, and they're guys are, and it's, you know what? It's so good for me to hear a love story. I just love it so much. Just I'm so happy to hear it.
Love stories are my jam, you know, and the cool thing is that they do exist in real life. And I think that's part of our hope in the book is we don't want people to settle. We don't want people to give up on waiting for that great love because we see it too often now. People just, you know, they think they reached a certain age and it's like, okay, well, it's time to be married now. I might as well. I've been with this person for so long. It's like, no, wait until you find that person that you can laugh with for the rest of your life. Who's going to support you through the hard seasons and celebrate all your victories with you.
So we're chatting with Rachel and with Harold Earls, Captain Harold Earls, and their book is called A Higher Calling. Before we have to run to the next part of our radio show, I'd like to hear from each of you, Harold. What do you think the most important takeaway right now of living in this crisis is? What do you want to share for yourself and for others? What's the takeaway?
Yeah, that's a great question, Lisa. I would say just speaking through the lens of Everest and I think how it really applies now. So I think what I took most for granted or I didn't really understand until I got back down was you realize the physical dangers, just like we see the physical and present dangers right now. But I think what's important to notice as well is the social and emotional effects that it has on everyone that I think I failed to realize and see in my own relationships, the social and emotional impact of all of this. And I think the same is true for the COVID-19 that we're facing. For me, probably where I grew the most was not when I was on the mountain or even right when I got back down, but it was honestly in the moments following that we were able to have some stillness in our life, similar to what we're in right now. And it really allowed me to reflect on what were my priorities. Because I think that you're like, yes, I know my priorities. You know, for us, it's like God, family, you know, pursuing our dreams. But I think when you're able to really take a step back and say, how am I actually living my day-to-day life? And what does that mean in regards to my priorities? And I think, honestly, with all of this going around and the chaos swirling around us, I think there's some beauty in having some stillness for us to go back and actually really be able to think and reflect and see what are our priorities? Where do we get the most fulfillment? And I guarantee you that we can come out stronger on the other side by doing so.
Yeah, that's a great point, honey. And kind of just piggybacking off of him, it's just that reminder that we all need that time is limited, you know? So it's like, how are you going to spend that time? And for us, that's, we want to love harder, you know? We want to make sure that like you said, we're slowing down. We're appreciating those nighttime routines with our kids, reading those books. We're spending time getting to know each other. You know, during this time, I learned that my husband didn't know the Macarena.
True.
After five years of marriage, how did I not know that he didn't know the Macarena?
No, not only did I know the Macarena, I called it the Macarena.
The Macarena. Are you kidding me?
I love it.
So we spent an entire night then learning the Macarena. So now I am proud to say on air that I officially know how to do the Macarena thanks to being in quarantine.
You know, and it's those little moments that are just, they count, you know, and they turn out to be the big moments, the ones that we'll look back on and we'll laugh about and we'll be so appreciative for.
Absolutely. Well, both of you guys, stay well, stay healthy. I love your energy and your passion for life. You're exactly where you're supposed to be in this journey. I'm delighted to get to know both of you. I hope that A Higher Calling becomes a major bestseller for you guys and continues to keep your family finances healthy and strong. I thank both of you for your service to this country, and it's really been just a joy to speak with you today. So thank you very much, Harold and Rachel Earle on the Lisa Wexler Show. A pleasure.
Lisa, we appreciate you so much. And honestly, everyone who is listening, our hearts and our thoughts and our prayers are with you. I know that it is a very difficult time. So we just want you to know that we're thinking of you. We're praying for you. If you guys want to check out the book, it's earls.org. So our last name, you guys can find the book, and it's available everywhere else online. Thank you, Lisa, so much.
Thank you. Thank you. We'll be right back.